That must mean you're content this morning. You're all satisfied, content, relaxed, all is good. We'll talk about some contentment today. You know, contentment, you know, satisfied with what we are, who we are, what we have, we're content. Contentment, despite what some people might say, is not determined always by our circumstances. We can still be content in all circumstances, and it's not really determined by other people either. It's determined by us and the state which we live and we choose to live in and our life with Christ. That's how we have contentment. You know, you got kids, grandkids, sometimes they're not always content. You don't have any of those, do you? Not non-content. They don't have what they want or enough of what they want. You know, it's always another toy. I need another one. Or I need a different food item. I don't want that. I want this. And I remember not all that long ago, he was at a baseball game, and there was a young fellow there who was content. He was playing with his toys and stuff, sitting there in the grass by the bleachers and things. He was content. Till somebody mentioned they have snow cones. Instantly, he became discontented. About 20 minutes, he was screaming for a snow cone. Had to have a snow cone. But, you know, sometimes you can play with them and play most of the day, and then it gets time to slow down, or at least we're ready to slow down, then they don't seem to agree sometimes. And, you know, it's always just a little longer. Just a little bit longer, you know, or doing something one more time, which becomes one more time, which becomes one more time. Again and again. But adults aren't much different, you know. You know, I could say, boy, I could sure see that game better if I had a bigger TV. I'd see it much better. You know, or if I had a bigger car or a bigger boat. And we can come up with reasons, you know, we can offset the wants with needs that, you know, if I had that bigger car, you know, we could take other people with us to go places, or I could do this for somebody, or, you know, that boat might make me catch more fish, you know, it just might. So we come up with reasons to try to offset the want part. We come up with need reasons. But we expand the needs over the wants to come out better. But contentment is having, probably most people, to have contentment, it's having what we want and having it right now. That makes us content. Give me what I want and give it to me right now. And otherwise, we just kind of whine like that little boy did. Ecclesiastes 6:7. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes and Matthews and a little bit of Timothy and then in Philippians as we close. But Ecclesiastes 6:7 said, everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. You know, we are never satisfied. It began a long time ago. Adam and Eve weren't even satisfied. You know, they had perfect bodies, lived on a perfect earth, had the perfect surroundings, had God right there with them, able to talk with him, walk with him. Till Satan told them they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough. They could have more. They could have more. And they began to want more. Then they became not satisfied. That they could be wise to everything. I wouldn't say wise, maybe. They could be knowledgeable about everything. They could be like God. That's what they could have. And that's when they became discontented, because what they had wasn't enough anymore. They had something else they wanted. They needed more. You know, sometimes less is more. But they decided to reach out for more, and they caused each of us to have less. At least until Jesus returned it to us. You know, I always tell people, you know, and I'm not against people bettering themselves. You know, they want a different job. They want to better themselves. But always looking for the fence where it's greener, you know, on the other side. But I always tell them, just, you know, I hope you're getting something you want. But, you know, you got to you got to be aware there's large patties over there too. There's patties in every field, and sometimes the greener ones have bigger ones in it. So you're not escaping something. You're just moving to something a little different, something a little bigger, where maybe more is. So you got to be careful what you pick. Looks can be deceiving. Things can appear and try to persuade us into things we think we need, but do we really? You know, is it something we just want or something we need? You know, there may be something to gain by moving. There may be something to gain by switching, by getting something, but what does it cost us in what we give up? Because to gain something, we lose something typically. What does it cost us to gain? Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying at a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that the truth? Each day has its own trouble. You know, we're not content because we're too busy worrying about things. Do we have enough of, fill in the blank? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough of that? You know, there's always something. Do we have enough of, you name it. Do we have enough? Well, how much is enough? I don't know how much is enough. All I know is I don't have enough of it. I need more of it. Then I might have enough. But then I doubt I really will have enough. So then I need to make more room to put it all so I can have enough. You know, we just keep going on and adding stuff. You always outgrow wherever you live. You can live in a small house. You say, we don't have enough room. Maybe you get a bigger house. How long does it take to fill that up with stuff? It fills up. You always need more room. You always need more room. But every single thing comes from God. You know, people say, no, I earned it. I worked for it. I earned it on my own. No, God's just allowed you to have it. Every single thing. God owns everything. You know, he just shares us and lets us use it while we're here. And by the way, it's supposed to be used to help glorify him. That's why we have it. He's doing things to set us up to work for him, to glorify him. It says, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and you'll have everything you need. We seek him first. But we worry about things that we know is happening. You know, there's things we know is going to happen, and then we worry about things that don't even come to pass. We make up things to worry about. We create things to worry about. That's pretty much a waste of time if we're actually trusting in God and we can give it to him. You know, it even says it on our money. It says, in God we trust. Then what do? We put our trust in ourselves. We put our trust in that money. It's in God that we're supposed to place our trust. And you don't think, you know, we've got it all taken care of. We're sitting pretty. We're all good and feel like, we're better off than others. And worse yet, turn that into thinking we're better than others, because we're not. You know, there was a story of a father of a wealthy family took his son to a trip in the country. And he wanted to show his son how poor people can be. So I found this farm and spent a couple of days on this farm about with people who were considered very poor, and with his family. And then on the return trip home, the dad asked, he said, "How was the trip?" And the boy said, "It was great, Dad." And of course the dad said, "Did you see how poor people can be?" He said, "Oh yeah, I saw." So dad said, "What'd you learn from the trip?" And the son answered, "Well, I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We've got a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden. They have a creek that has no end. We've got imported lanterns in our garden. They've got stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard and they have the whole horizon." He said, "We've got a small piece of land to live on. They've got fields that go as far as I can see. We buy our food, they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us, but they have friends to protect them." Which the dad didn't know what to say. Before he could, his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." So it's perspective. You know, if you're rich or poor, if you're content or not, it's all in your perspective. And this is especially true of spiritual contentment. Your perspective's different. If you're relying on God, you know, the things around you won't really matter. There's people have a little, people have a lot, but you can have the same contentment no matter what. You know, a friend of mine talked about it quite a bit. You know, we both used to live, call them house trailer. I got in trouble for that. It's a mobile home. Mobile home. It's not house trailer. Mobile home. We lived in one. Live in a house now. I can't say my happiness was different. You can be content in whatever you have. It's just your approach. It's your perspective on it. We have good times in a mobile home. We have good times in the house. We have trouble in a mobile home. We have trouble in the house. It doesn't change your life. You can still have that contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-7 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." This goes back to we build up treasures last week. What do you build up? What's your perspective? Nothing you have here that doesn't keep you contented is going with you anywhere. I'd just soon everybody spent everything they had. Because when you're content, you know, you've got that. When you leave this earth, it happens a lot. Then families aren't contented anymore. And it creates some problems when you're gone over what then they think they need. So, if you're older, take it with you. Go ahead. Just spend it all. Don't leave it. Don't leave anything. Causes problems. Just use it. You earned it. You it was given to you. Use it. But it just creates another want of people. Creates a change of attitude. Contributes non-contentment. We're going to have an invitation in just a little bit. Any invitations to come up for anything? You know, invitations not... It's for salvation, but it's just if you want to speak to God, you got something on your heart, it's to come up here to speak to Him. You know, it can be anything. You know, if we'll come over to you maybe. I'll come down to you. I won't ask you if you want to share. That's fine. Otherwise, I'll put my hand on you. I'll just pray with you. You know, whatever you're praying about. If you know, there's times, you know, if you membership, you know, if you want to be a written down member of the church, there's not an application. You come up, say, "I'd like to be a member," and I'm pretty sure about 100% you'll be accepted. So it's always available. But I think I was with contentment because I did a funeral this week, and I was reading. I asked them, well, send me some stuff, because I hadn't seen the person for 50 years probably. Send me some stuff, and I'm reading down through there, and the first thing I'm getting as I'm reading down through some texts and things that they sent me is, this is a contented person. She lived a life contented. Yeah. Of course, I got to the end, and it said she enjoyed the simple things in life. She enjoyed the contented life with what she had. You know, she was contented with gardening and taking care of flowers, and had a fountain out there in the garden. They would go out and sit outside and listen to it. And, you know, the dogs had dogs around, and family, and just spending time and enjoying just the simple surroundings of life, you know, of nature, just being in God's creation, being in God's presence. I'm sure they were talking to him a lot out there. No. That's contentment. Knowing that you have what you need, and he's going to take care of the rest. Doesn't mean there's not ups and downs, you know. They needed prayer too. Prayer for themselves. They were going through some times, and would ask for prayers for them and for others. But knowing that God's there, your contentment's in him. Philippians 4:4-13. We'll end with this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So where is your mind? Where is your mind? Is it on the worldly things and what I need and how to get it? Or is it on seeking God's kingdom first? You know, prayer changes things. Prayer will give you the strength. Someone the other day said, every time I see a mountain move, I know somebody prayed. So why be anxious about things when we can give it to God to take care of? Put your mind on God, knowing his abilities and his desire for you. He wants to give you good things. He wants to be there for you. He wants to bless you. You know, we can be content in all situations because when we turn it over to him, there's no better place to turn it. You know, he can give us, as it says, that peace that transcends all understanding. You can't explain it to people. You have to experience it. So we got the knowledge, and we've got the promise that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. That's the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we have. You know, a contented life is available in Christ. Is it something you want, or would you rather have what the wants that this world offers that won't last, that won't fulfill? You know, it's not a hard decision. It's not a hard decision. And in him, you have the power to have that contented life. You just have to turn it to him. You just have to rely on him, depend on him, and know he's in charge of those things. We need to give up those things, the wants of things. We need to give those things, you know, even emotions. You know, we need to give all those things to Him, the emotions that drag us down. You know, if we have bitterness or anger, those are another thing we need to give up. Those don't allow us to have a contented life. But we need to give those to God as well. We need to have our minds on things above for a better life. Let's pray.